So I wanted to ask what your opinion, not only as a musician who could potentially be in there one day, but as someone who's visited the actual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I have as well, but you were also at one of the induction ceremonies, and I kind of wanted to get your take on what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame means to you.
Simply put, it's sad. It's not right. I'm going to go off on a mild tangent. The reason I attended is I am not a huge Kiss fan, but when I was a little kid, like most little kids who wind up in rock music, Kiss seemed important. There was this visual to it that drew me in. I love Gene Simmons. I'm a failed bass player. So I really, I aspired at like 10, 11, 12, not sonically so much, but visually and what they were all about. I really adored Kiss. I had this like affinity in my heart for them. You know, I got more sophisticated musically as I grew. And ironically enough, sincerely consider myself much more sophisticated than Kiss and their material, like Christine 16. I would cringe if that was one of my song titles. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, right. That's like.
And no offense to Kiss, because I don't know those guys. I have nothing against them one way or the other. But to me, sonically, Kiss was not something that I ever looked up to. But their place in music can't be disputed. Their place in the culture of music can't be disputed.
Well, last year in 2014, Kiss, along with Nirvana, who we should know about Nirvana actually next, to be honest with you. I want to discuss that for a second.
Okay.
But so I attended. I attended with a former radio co-host of mine, and we got like press, which is awesome. It didn't cost us any money. Went to New York, and they did this thing. They do Kiss early. They talk about it. There's a thunderous applause because you're in New York City, and they didn't play a note, and nobody played any Kiss music, and I felt a little ripped off.
Oh, so they didn't even have, like, during the jam session or anything, they didn't play any Kiss whatsoever?
Not a note. Like, there was nothing. There was nothing Kiss.
And it wasn't even someone else playing Kiss.
No.
There was just nothing.
There was nothing. It was like, and it was very clearly a problem. The audience didn't appreciate it. I wanted to leave because they inducted Kiss, like, second. In the broadcast on HBO, they were like right before Nirvana, which right. is how it should have been, but it wasn't. They snubbed them. Now, Jan Wenner, is that how I say his name?
I think so, but I'm not 100% on
pretty that. Much the guy who started Rolling Stone magazine was a hippie. No, I guess he still is. All right, I fucking hate hippies. Just so we're clear, like, your whole fucking thing, let's end the Vietnam War, man, and these are the same people that became yuppies in the 80s.
Right.
Which makes them hypocrites. Like, you don't give me the whole peace and love thing, and then when you grow up and get a mortgage, you're like, I was just kidding. Like, I've never said peace and love. Fuck peace and love. I don't care about that shit. I'd like to pay my bills. I always did pay my bills. They didn't care about that. And then they became the yuppies. And now, they're literally the people who run the United States of America. They're that age. The baby boomers have run shit for years. Fuck a hippie. I hate hippies, man. That being said, Rolling Stone magazine started by a hippie. And conceptually, I kind of like it originally. It's very left-wing. I'm leftish. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like Republicans. I think it's too stringent. I'm not political per se, okay? I definitely don't exploit Starscream or a medium to ever say, you should do this. Fuck that. That's your decision to make. But personally, I'm pretty liberal. I'm a musician. I fucking have to be. My friends are weird fucking people. Like, we're creepy people. Some of us. At any rate, it started by a hippie, right? Then it becomes big business, and then, I don't know if you know how it began, but it was Jan Wenner was involved, but the gentleman whose name I can't ever remember how to pronounce, who started Atlantic Records.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name.
The little bald guy with the glasses.
Right.
He signed Zeppelin. He signed Ray Charles. Artigan? I think it was Artigan. I can't say the last name. I like that guy a lot. He signed STP. He's a forward thinker. He was a smart man. He was integral in it. And I felt like when he was around, it was a little less brotherly club. Like, if Jan Wenner likes your band, okay, you'll be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When they inducted the Grateful Dead, again, a hippie magazine who loved the Dead, they said, all right, the Grateful Dead has had 75,000 members. You can induct every single one. And they were like, okay. And then when Kiss gets inducted, they're like, well, we only want the original four.
Right.
Now, I have a friend named Johnny Zero, who's Kiss obsessed, and he can read off how Bruce Kulick, who's a guitar player, like three guitar players after Ace Frehley,
right,
was technically in the band longer than anyone else as a guitar player. He wasn't inducted. The drummer who died was still a drummer for, like, when they had the makeup. He wasn't inducted. Like, that's not fair.